Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Flimsy stand slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Killarney's INEC on Saturday the 13th of April.
Tickets for Belfast show have sold out on Ticketmaster.ie, but limited availability remains at ulsterhall.co.uk. That's ulsterhall.co.uk.
The authorities were really quick off the mark trying to push this as some kind of an attempt to kill Evo Morales, who was actually out of the country at the time. But the point is, I think what's motivating the family is that the commission's recommendations, as well as the compensation, is there, but it's also a full investigation and a criminal investigation are part of those. And I think that's the real issue with the Bolivian government. It's nothing to do with the money.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
Irishman Michael Dwyer was shot dead 15 years ago by special forces in Bolivia, who later smeared his good name and claimed he was there to assassinate a president. However, former state pathologist Mary Cassidy exposed those lies that were fed to the media around the world and proved that he could not have been involved in the shootout at the time of his death. Still, Michael's mother, Caroline, is fighting for her son's memory. And this week, I'm talking with Eamon Dillon about her ongoing quest for justice. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Eamon, you've been writing about that the tragedy around the death of the Irishman Michael Dwyer 15 years ago in Bolivia, a story some people may remember, maybe they don't. But unfortunately, the family are now saying that there's been further heartache for them because of a disinformation campaign from South America. From the Bolivian government have made remarks that they say are simply not true. And you know, it comes after they've had a lot of problems, this family, in trying to really have the real story of Michael's death put out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is coming up to the 15th anniversary of his murder. He was killed on the 16th of April in 2009. He was shot dead by Special Forces Police in Bolivia. At the time, the Bolivian authorities put out a story that he was part of this group of mercenaries hired to kill the president, Evo Morales. There was photographs put out, obviously taken from, I suppose, the phones or computers belonging to some of these men. There was five of them. Three of them were killed. Two of them were ended up in prison for a while. But the family, like, were immediately, this didn't ring true for them.
Yeah.
It has pretty much been established that this was a summary execution of what looks like to have been an innocent man who at worst just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And had fallen into company that obviously came under the suspicion.
His mother, Caroline Dwyer, has been kind of, I suppose, at the forefront in trying to get to the bottom of this, and she still hasn't given up. I probably should say that Caroline Dwyer wasn't happy with a lot of the media coverage, including the Sunday World in 2009. We would have used photographs that had been supplied by the Bolivian authorities at the time, and I suppose used them possibly without, you know, going through the full check as such. Mm. I mean, sometimes these situations, as a, you know, when you're on a news desk, are difficult. Mm. Sometimes you take stuff that you're getting from international agencies, you take it at face value, and sometimes you get it wrong. And I guess in this case,
story at the time, he was only 24, and I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, when you get information and you get photographs and you get a narrative from a government, you kind of don't question it, do you?
Yeah, well, sometimes
maybe we change now a little bit. But
well, if you look at the language that we used, or that not just us, but in other newspapers as well, some of the language that is used, you know, there was a lot of according to the Bolivian government and according to local newspaper such a you know articles, and so all that was there. And so I mean, the authorities were really quick off the mark trying to push this as some kind of an attempt to kill Evo Morales, who was actually out of the country at the time.
It's terrible when you think of that a government would do that.
Well, look, I mean, I'm sure worse things have happened, to be honest with you. I mean, there's some shocking human rights abuses among South American governments, as there are in other countries around the world, as happened, I'm sure, in the Republic of Ireland over the years, between, you know, different arms of the state getting carried away, or different individuals within
the north.
And so, I mean, like, there's nothing different there.
I think it sort of brings it home when you see the families, you know, 15-year battle against this then, you know.
Yeah, and
he was a 24-year-old who had gone travelling, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. He'd been working, I think, as a security guard for one of the companies around the Corrib Shell protests, and he'd met some people there, and he travelled with them to Bolivia, something that, you know, a fellow in his mid-20s is going to do. I suppose it was an adventure, you know, going off to do. I think it was reported that he was going to do a bodyguard course of some description. But like he certainly wasn't involved in a plot. I mean, that's been pretty much discredited. So, I mean, the family have been kind of pushing away. They've been trying to get the Bolivian government to come up with some sort of credible explanation. And they've gone through what is the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights. And so this is an institution. It's based in Washington, but it covers all of the Americas. People, you know, can try and file and get a case looked at, and they'll make recommendations. And this is where the story is now. So I mean, like, his mother Caroline Dwyer has, you know, she's spoken to government ministers. She has, I think, she appeared in an Oireachtas committee a couple of years back. She's travelled to Bolivia. She's met their foreign minister, but they're not getting anywhere. Well, I mean, they've gotten as far as the commission making their recommendations,
and which, discovering and, this and, commission exists, which was something that would have been alien to them before any of this.
Yeah, look, it's a long slog, I think, in any of these sort of cases, and they've got to the point where the commission made their recommendations. So, and among, like, there's a whole series of criteria that the government has to meet to satisfy the commission, so that it doesn't go on then to the court that they had. There's a court of human rights as well attached to the commission. And so at the moment, it appears that it seems to be kind of stalled, that there was some kind of negotiations going on between the Dwyers, but also two other men who had brought cases. One of them was, I think, a Hungarian national. And he gave an interview as well earlier, I think just earlier this month. And that was in relation to the remarks by the Bolivian Attorney General about the Dwyers were basically holding it up because they hadn't, they were asking for too much compensation. Now, this is, you know, what the Dwyers, like, through a spokesperson, sent, you know, their reaction. I don't think they were too happy about being contacted by the Sunday World, but they did, in fairness.
Yeah.
They did come back and they were saying, look, they're bound by confidentiality and they won't make any comment, and that it was disappointing and hurtful to the family, especially as a significant anniversary of the murder approaches. The representatives of the Bolivian state appear to have stepped outside the confidentiality obligations and sharing disinformation to media in respect of the process. So, I mean, this is to do with the Attorney General's comments to local media in Bolivia.
I was going to ask you, did he say that in a parliament or anything?
No, he said it to Cesar Adilid Silas told El Debar that basically it's making it impossible for us to comply with the recommendation, because basically he was quoted as saying that the Dwyer family is asking for $2 million. That's a lot of money to the Bolivian state. Yeah. One of the other guys who's also taking a separate case, one of the guys that was ended up being arrested in the same police operation and spent some time in jail, he also gave an interview with another agency in Bolivia. And he was saying that they haven't been able to agree a fair sum for compensation. He says, look, if it goes to trial, it's going to cost the Bolivian government a lot more. Mm. And he says they're just offering really low amounts of compensation. So, I mean, so this is not the Dwyer family, but another guy who's also seen, he's a Hungarian citizen, Elad Tuaso, I think is how you pronounce his name.
And like the thing, I'm sure the compensation is really all you can kind of punish them with, because they're not going to really come clean on it, are they?
And I don't think it interests them. I mean, Caroline Dwyer in I think one of her comments to one of the Oireachtas committees, one of the meetings said that the family's objectives have been to establish the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to get to. She also criticised the media, and that saying large elements of the media in Ireland and internationally sullied his name, and that the information and photographs released by the Bolivian authorities were not questioned. They have no doubt that he was summarily executed. His body was brought back to Ireland.
Yeah. So the former Irish state pathologist Mary Cassidy did a post mortem on his body when it was brought back.
Yeah, and this again, you know, the family organised this. And she basically took the view then that he was shot. He was shot in bed.
And did the Irish state back that, or was that a private?
I'm not sure necessarily who funded it, but it was the family. The family had kind of pushed for that, and you know, they got an expert, you know, highly qualified pathologist to carry to do a report for them, and those findings have been accepted by the Irish government and the EU. So, I mean, they're backing the family in their view that, you know, the story that somehow these you know, armed mercenaries set on killing the president were chased across the city and holed up in a hotel room and were killed in a shootout. I mean, there's evidence given to the Commission of Human Rights that he was actually seen in handcuffs, kneeling and still alive at one point during this police operation. So there was no, and it's been accepted by, from what we know of some of the leaked details from the commission report, which came out in one of those Bolivian news outlets, that it's pretty much been accepted by the commission that, you know, the government's version of events isn't correct, that there wasn't a gunfight, that he was effectively shot dead summarily in the hotel room. So it's just this long, agonizing fight for the family to try and get to the bottom.
And you can imagine as a mother, like, I mean, especially if your child's name had been sullied like that. And
photographs of his dead body being used as well, which is unfortunate, to say the least.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the point is, I think what's motivating the family is that the commission's recommendations, as well as the compensation, is there, but it's also a full investigation and a criminal investigation are part of those. And I think that's the real issue with the Bolivian government. It's nothing to do with the money.
Yes. And like, his family believe he was murdered.
And the pathology report backs that up. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's too much doubt in that case.
Something this was told to the Oireachtas, that the bullet went straight through his heart and damaged his lung. And when he lay dead or dying, he was shot 4 more times in the back. He was in bed wearing nothing but his underwear. There's no doubt he was summarily executed. That's what his mother told the Oireachtas.
And that's based on Mary Cassidy's report.
Mary Cassidy's report. I mean, you can understand completely how you'd want. What are they going to get justice? Unlikely, unfortunately.
Well, it depends on. I suppose when governments change, you know, attitudes change.
You look at Bloody Sunday. I mean, you look at Bloody Sunday here. How long that's gone on, and those paratroopers and soldiers. Some of them are before the courts, but I mean, there was a cover up. This has gone on for years. There's been lies told. Are any of them going to ever face court before they die for, you know, misrepresenting the truth? So, like, that's here in Ireland, which you feel is a little bit more of a civilised society, or certainly now, and where obviously there's been a huge effort to get the truth from about Bloody Sunday by the population of Derry and by lawyers representing the victims' families. But it must be an extra effort to be trying to deal like across the bloody Atlantic and, you know, through a committee in Washington. Yeah. And then what's Bolivia like these days?
I was just thinking about that and trying to read up a little on it. And I mean, Evo Morales would have been, I suppose, a left-wing president. So there would have been large elements of the security forces wouldn't have been happy with that. So whether this kind of fake attempt on his life was a bid to scare him, to keep him out of the country, or was it set up by supporters of his to make it look like that he is in control, or was there some other reason? So, I mean, there's all sorts of political reasons and, you know, kind of real politic where, you know, they're willing to sacrifice something.
Happen, but they got it wrong.
Unlikely, because, didn't seem to be a threat to anyone. I think one of the other men killed did have a background. He was a Croat who had some, you know, links with far right and had fought in Yugoslavia. But, I mean, that was the height of it. It wasn't necessarily, you know, he wasn't a friend or anything, you know, connected to Michael Dwyer in any way.
The problem is also, like, I mean, there are intelligence channels there which are deep secret, you know, in the darkness. And who knows if somebody through a channel had a problem with one of these men and decided to tip off to create
a whole plot. There's so many different there's so many different kind of questions out there, which is obviously why the Dwyer family are keen, like, to get to the bottom and to have an investigation and to have the people who were, you know, from the Special Forces unit to explain what went on, who gave them their orders, and who gave that person their orders to carry this out. I mean, even in a country like Bolivia, to organize a police operation like that, it has to go through, I'm sure, a few people.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I don't envy that family. Their job and their, you know, it's like, it's a cross they'll have to bear for the rest of their days, and I can totally understand them trying to find the truth, and that probably motivates them to get up each day. But it's horrendous, a 24-year-old coming back in a coffin after, you know, going on some sort of a wacky trip.
Yeah, and under the full glare of international media and domestic media at the same time.
And our own, absolutely. We have to, certainly, there was mistakes made back then at that time with that. I do think that, you know, given all that's happened over the past decade or so with fake news and that, as a media, you'd like to think anyway, we have more checks in place. But if a government gave out details like that, I mean, there was obviously cross-checking with the Irish government, who perhaps didn't, you know, usually if there's an Irish citizen killed abroad, in whatever the circumstances, the, you know, our Irish Foreign Affairs will handle the details of that.
Yeah,
Can you recall?
Not in this case. I genuinely can't. I don't remember. I didn't actually cover it at the time. Mm. I know we had different freelancers that filed stuff, just looking at the bylines. And I think the initial story was done by some of our staffers, but that was pretty much safe coverage. Like, it was just a bare bones of what was already out there in terms of the international kind of wire services. So, I mean, it is 15 years ago. I mean, there has been a huge amount of changes. I mean, you know, smartphones only came in 2007. So, you know, that's only, so I mean, there's been a kind of a complete kind of sea change in how the media works in those 15 years. In one way, it would be much easier now to double check that story. And there'd probably be more kind of online clues as to whether or not this was what the Bolivian government was saying. I mean, you know, like, to some extent, even 15 years ago doesn't seem that long, but you're just that one more degree removed back then than you would be now. I think it'd be far, far easier to sort of verify things, I think. Like, you know, it's not, I mean, you're kind of relying on people on the ground. And we did actually, I think at one point we did hire somebody in Bolivia who was filing copy to us. So it wasn't like we kind of, you know, took the easy route and just kind of lifted or used wire service copy, you know.
Well, look, it was very hurtful, I'm sure, for the family how it was reported here. And I hope that in the interim, the real story has got as much publicity
Yeah, and look, it looks like it's going to rumble on until, you know, there's some kind of change of heart or change of government in Bolivia.
And we will continue to come back to it when this develops.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah. If something comes to light.
For sure. Okay, Eamon, thank you.
Thank you, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.